no scheme of man.
No scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand.
Till he returns.
All calls me Lord.
Here in the power of Christ.
Here in the power of Christ, I stand till he returns. All calls me home.
Here in the power of Christ,
I stand till he returns.
Father and our God, we worship and honor you for and thank you for gracing our gathering and our praise and our worship with your tangible presence once again. We're grateful. As we go into your word now, again, I humble myself afresh under your mighty hand. I pray for fresh unction and anointing upon my heart and my lips, that indeed I would speak, teach, and preach as I should as an oracle of God. I pray that you put the same unction upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me, those who are physically present here, and those who will be hearing me remotely, electronically, so that your word will flow freely from you through me to your people to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own. So our wills become more humble, our minds will be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the Holy Spirit. I further pray as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great as well as in sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, yes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of the things that they hear and our hearers only. I pray further for mercy, so I will deliver the word with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say. Bring out the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all is in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mention in their individual lives. All individually agreed and said, today I have what I could preached yesterday, and I've entitled this message, God Rules in the Affairs of Men. This is a great fundamental truth that many of us are oblivious to. Some of us know it in our head because we know the Bible, but when it comes to what is happening around us in our circumstances, it becomes obscure. In other words, we don't see it. And that's what leads us into all kinds of discouragement, you know, unbelief, you know, because sadly and regrettably, men in the majority only live by what they see. So when they see things that are happening on the earth, like it says, I shared yesterday from Luke chapter 21, you know, says men's hearts failing them for seeing the things that are going on the earth. You know, the shaking of the nations, the perplexity, the distress of nations. You can easily, and I'm not being critical, I'm just instructing you. You know, I don't agree with you, you know, but I empathize with you. You know, Jesus, many times, he sympathizes with us. The Bible says he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities, you know. It doesn't mean he agrees with what we do when we do the wrong thing, but he feels it and he tries to help us to correct it and get out of it. So because of, particularly in the last 2 years, 2020, 2021, the earth has undergone a tremendous amount of pressure, you know, unlike ever seen in human history. Even the number of people that died from this COVID thing, you know, is surpassing, you know, the people that died in World War II. And it's not a war. It's not a physical war between nations. It's a pandemic. I was talking to a friend yesterday, and he was saying that, you know, they're looking at, you know, making all their operations totally virtual. So that, you know, employ people in America, they don't have to come and, you know, come to Nigeria or wherever you're based to come and work. Just employ them, because all their offices now are working virtually. And because of computer technology now, you can actually, you know, be more productive working from wherever you live. And now for me to employ you, maybe you come to Nigeria, then I have to bring your family, you know, pay for accommodation and all of that. All those costs go. So what happens is that your operating costs reduce and your productivity goes up. You know? So, you know, it's been a tough time. Yeah, but we as Christians must learn to see beyond what we see. You got to learn to see beyond what you see. Yes, there is the pandemic. Yes, there's the distress of nations. Yes, men's hearts are failing them for fear of the things that are coming upon the earth, because they see what's going on. But the Bible tells us that in all of that, God is ruling. That God is ruling. So we have to learn to see the invisible in the middle of the very bad visible. You see the good invisible in spite of the bad visible. And I want to talk today about God ruling in the affairs of men. And it's particularly relevant in this Christmas season. Yesterday we celebrated Christmas, the birthday of the Lord Jesus Christ. Two main events happened when Jesus was born to illustrate how God rules in the affairs of men. The first one was that a virgin conceived. It has never happened before or since. The prophet prophesied it, prophet Isaiah. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. She will bring forth a son and call his name Emmanuel. You know, when we read that thing, we all read it, and because everybody's used to it, you know. But if you try and meditate and think a little bit deeply about what happened, it will begin to show you how God is sovereign, his wisdom and his power, and he rules the affairs of men. Because of modern medical knowledge, we now understand the odds against that thing happening. Our medical people will tell you that, you know, in just one drop of sperm, you have maybe 10 million sperms. When you say a man has a low sperm count, it means that, you know, maybe you're getting like 1 million. That's a low one. But the normal thing, correct? You know, it's 10 million, 15 million, you know, that kind of a thing. Now, in that, there are millions of them. And when, you know, interaction takes place between a man and a woman, you know, those things, they swim into the fallopian tube and all of that place. It's a very complex operation, you know. And then they attach themselves to an egg and attach themselves to the, you know, to the uterus, you know, before the child is conceived. So the probability of it being a boy and a girl, or a girl, is very, you know, you cannot tell with any type of certainty. Because you got millions of them, you know, and the genetic thing, the XY chromosome, and all of that. For God to say with certainty, you don't understand. For him to say with certainty, number one, there are two miracles there. The virgin will conceive. She has never known a man. Where is the sperm going to come from? But is it not God's word that created everything? Watch this. Is it not God that created Adam's body from the dust of the earth? And breathed into him the breath of life and created his reproductive organs. So the male reproductive organs have a sack of sperm in them. If God's word can create a sack, is it a difficult thing for him to create one? Give him a clap offering, somebody. So that day, that fateful day, when Gabriel flew at high speed into a remote village called Nazareth and met a young virgin girl called Mary that had been chosen and set apart by God. She had found because she had lived an honest and a good life. I'm sure there were many candidates. But the eyes of the Lord was running to and fro. Watch this, darling. Not the whole earth, Nazareth. For he must be a Nazarene. This is God we're dealing with. See, when you read those miracles, just gloss over them. Take time and think. His eyes were not running to and fro the whole of Israel. It had to be Nazareth for the scripture to be fulfilled that he shall be a Nazarene. So he now, in the 10 years before Jesus was born, the Holy Ghost and the angels were scanning all the hearts of the virgins in Nazarene to find out which one will qualify. I want you to know something. I've said it many, many times over the years, and I'm going to keep saying it. God does not predestinate individuals. He only predestinates events. Individuals that now fulfill the conditions now become predestinated for the event. There is nowhere the scripture says her name will be Mary. It could have been Esther. It could have been Naomi. It could have been Rebecca. Only God knows how many young girls were in Nazareth at that time. Who were virgins? Who would have qualified? But as the scanning process went through, some were eliminated for lack of, fidelity. Or some were eliminated for lack of honesty. Some were eliminated for lack of humility. Until finally, the angels would bring a report to heaven and say, we zero down on these three. And God said, okay, this one would have been okay, but she does not come from the genealogy of David. Put it aside. This one too is fine, but the genealogy on this side is not going to work. Let it be Mary. Now, send the angel. I'm telling you what's going on behind the scenes in heaven. God rules in the affairs of men. I got a tweet from heaven. That's what is being done for your own life too. As we're speaking now, God is ruling in your life. There is a reason why you are where you are today. It's not by accident. And for you to get to the next point of destiny, there's also some things that have to be fulfilled before, whether you get there or not. God rules in the affairs of men. Everybody say, God rules in the affairs of men. That's how finally they settled on Mary. So the angel flies faster than the speed of light from the first heavens through the second heavens. All the principalities and powers were not a problem. They had already been dealt with by Michael through the intercession of Anna. All this is coming by the Spirit. It's not in my notes. And he lands in Nazareth that fine day. I don't know whether it was evening or afternoon. He said, Hail Mary! That was highly favored. She's afraid. Said, chill. Olubi translation, chill, chill. Mary, chill. You're going to have a son. And his name is going to be Yehoshua HaMashiach. For he will save his people from their sins. Mary is a good girl. She knows the scriptures and she believes God. So Mary did not say, how will I know? That's what Zechariah asked. Mary had moved up in faith. Mary didn't say, how will I know? I know because it's the word God has said it. But how will it be? Seeing, I do not know a man. Then the angel tells her the answer to every human problem. The answer to every impossibility in your life. Behold, the power of God will come upon thee, and the Holy Ghost will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will what? Overshadow you. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be born in thee shall be called the Son of God. Olubi 21st century translation. This word I'm speaking now by the power of the Holy Spirit will form a sperm seed, and it will go through into your womb, into your fallopian tube. It will fertilize an egg. It will be male, and it will attach yourself to your uterus, and you will deliver him in 9 months. Give the Lord a clap offering. That's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. You see, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Don't your neighbor say, the word of God is living. It is powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Just say it. The word, as it came from God, via Gabriel, as it came out of Gabriel's mouth, the power to create the sperm seed was released, and the sperm seed was created. It went into Mary's womb without the penetration of a man and did the job. So that holy thing was called the Son of God. The DNA of that particular sperm cell was from heaven. That's why he's called the Son of God. He is known, according to the scripture, as the only begotten of the Father. Only. He is first begotten from the dead, but he is only begotten of the Father. There has never been one before, and there will never be one after. Adam was not begotten, he was created. From the dust of the earth, and God breathed into him the nostrils the breath of life. Jesus was not his body, that is, Jesus was always God in heaven. He left his omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence. He left all that one in heaven, and just his spirit alone, without all those divine attributes, came and then entered the fetus that was conceived in Mary's womb. The first IVF. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. They planted it, the Holy Ghost, they planted it there. Just like they do now in modern medicine. You can have a donor, a sperm donor, and you can even have a woman who is a surrogate. It's not her sperm, it's not her body, and then they put it in her womb, and then she now, first surrogate mother. Thank God for Mary. Give another clap offering for the Holy Mother. She was found worthy. She was found worthy. After having been checked for years, God doesn't do things carelessly. That is why the way you live and behave is what is shaping your destiny. There are some things you might have been earmarked for, and you just do one or two things and you just say, That's why you need to live a clean and a holy as much as you can. You know, use the blood, the word, and the spirit, you know, so you don't go and do some stupid thing that will mess your destiny up. Look at David. I mentioned him earlier in the Bible study. During my exhortation. It was earmarked for David to build the temple. The idea of the temple was the Holy Ghost, but it was given through David. God never said anywhere when they came to that, you come and build me a temple. So the day he came into David's house, he said, I live in a house of cedar. But God's ark is living in a tent. He said, this is not good enough. I will build a house for them. I will not give sleep to my eyes until I find a habitation for the God of Jacob. God was so impressed. God blessed his generation, expecting David to follow through. A small misadventure it wasn't worth it. Turn to your neighbor and say, sin is never worth it. The wages of sin is death. Open your mouth. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Sin is a waste of time, a waste of resources, and a waste of destiny. Don't mess with it. Now give yourselves a clap offering. A waste. I'm getting more revelation about it. It's a waste. You know, Satan just tries to paint it up as something interesting, and it's a lie. It's a phantom. Thank you, darling. Something that is unreal. You know, it just disappears in a puff. David is still regretting that until tomorrow. I mean, God has comforted him in heaven, and he's got a great reward. Oh, David was a great man. But just that little misadventure, it cost him the building of the temple. Watch this, Prof. He had been given the plans for it. The hands, the specifications, the dimensions. He should have been the one to build it. A small misadventure. That's why be careful what you do. He could have gone to the battle. Honey, I've meditated on that story so many times. This is one of the meditations that have come to me. Let's assume David was tired. We who are leaders, we get tired sometimes. I understand. Let's assume he was tired. And he just, I don't just feel like going to battle. You know what you should have done? He would say, okay, we will go. All right? Joab and all the other sons of Zeruiah and all the mighty men, you know what we're going to do? You know, I will be with you, but I am not going to be at the front. I will stay in my tent. I will stay in my tent, maybe 3 miles from the front. Joab, keep bringing me report. I just need to chill and relax. He would never have seen Bathsheba. And that story would not be in the Bible. Be at the right place with the right people and at the right time so that you can fulfill your destiny. Am I talking to anybody here? We're talking about God ruling in the affairs of man. So, that was the first miracle of creating a sperm seed that had the right genetic chromosome so that it would be male. It could not be female. And it worked. Then the second thing was that the baby grows like just a normal baby. 9 months. And they're going to give birth to the baby. Ordinarily, nobody in his right senses will take a 9-month pregnant woman on that long journey from Nazareth all the way to Jerusalem. Or rather, to Bethlehem. But that it might be fulfilled. Talk to your neighbor and say, God rules in the affairs of men. Oh! But that it might be fulfilled. That which was spoken by the prophet Micah. That out of thee, Bethlehem, shall come the ruler of my people. God moves an empire. Nekasefrenengas. And makes Caesar decree a census that we force everybody to go to their homestead. Don't you remember, say, God rules in the affairs of men. He doesn't move a town. He doesn't move. He moves an empire. Without the emperor knowing he was being moved. Without violating the will of the emperor just did what was logical. I need more taxes. So God said, this is the time you would do it. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is doing that every day. He's doing it today in Nigeria, in Washington, in Russia. I feel sorry for Putin. He doesn't know. They don't know. It's true. God is ruling there. Even the thing you think you are doing, God has already ordained it. Go and ask a stupid man called Sennacherib. How many people know Sennacherib? Give me. Enka Bible, you know. If you know Sennacherib, just wave to me. Hold on, I shall know. In 2022, start reading your Bible. The Assyrian who gets to in the day of Hezekiah begins to open his mouth to the heavens. Says Hezekiah, they are just keeping it short because of time. You know, who is your God? Who is your God that will deliver you? Have any of the other nations, have their gods delivered them? Where is the God of this one, the God of that one? And then tells the people on the wall of the city, don't mind Hezekiah. He's deceiving you that your God will deliver you. He will not deliver you. Surrender to me so that you will have your own house and drink from your own vineyards and all of that. Hezekiah had given a message to the people. He said, don't answer him. Never answer a fool. Just pray for him. So they didn't answer him. They just went back to Hezekiah in sackcloth and ashes, saying, look at what this unbeliever has said to defy and to desecrate, you know, despise the living God. Hezekiah is a smart guy. He had his faults, but he had some good because he knew God. Hezekiah didn't argue. He didn't talk to Sennacherib. And that's what you must learn to do in your life. He just took the letter and went to the temple, Pastor G. Very dramatic. And just opened. He said, God, you can read. This is what Sennacherib has said. To despise the living God. Now, God, do that which seemeth good in thy sight. The man had not finished reading. God sends Isaiah the prophet. He said, go and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, I have heard what Sennacherib has said to despise me. Then he said, did you not know that before you were born, your father and your great-grandfather, I was the one that ordained that they would destroy all these nations? Before you were born. He said, now you come. He said, I'm going to defend this city for my sake. And for the sake, not even for God, forget Hezekiah. For the sake of David, my servant, who was in heaven watching. You see, when saints die, they don't become unconscious. They just change location. They were with God. All those guys are, Abraham is alive. Isaac is alive. Jacob is alive. David is alive. For he is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Another clap, offering. He's not the God of the dead. Yeah, he's alive. They're all alive. So David heard the taunt of Sennacherib and said in heaven to Jehovah and Adonai, we got to do something about this. God said, it's in our hands. We rule in the affairs of men. Just watch. That's what it'll be. So he said, tell him that I've heard all your noise and all your rebellion against me. I'm just paraphrasing. But thus said the Lord, you will not fire one arrow in this city. Then you will hear a rumor. And you will go back to your own land. And there you will be killed. Because, everybody, turn to your neighbor, God rules in the affairs of men. And he's still ruling today. Don't be bothered by what they say in Aso Rock. Don't let it disturb you. Don't be bothered by what they are saying in Washington or what they are saying in London, or what they are saying. If, and this is the prerequisite, if you are praying, you will not be disturbed. Because you are, watch this, you are injecting God into the situation. The power of God. And through that power that you are injecting the situation, God is ruling the affairs of men. And ultimately, what will be done on earth will be the will of God. Not the aspirations and the ambitions and the boasts of men. And so God moves an entire empire. Nothing short of a Roman decree would have made Joseph move that girl with 9 month pregnancy on that very torturous trip from Nazareth all the way to Jerusalem, to Bethlehem. And it tells you how difficult the trip was, because by the time they got there, it was night. They could not even find a hotel that had room. And you know the rest. We call it the Christmas story. The place they had to find, because the baby was due, was where they used to feed the animals. In those days, not like today. Today you have cars. But in those days they had donkey, horse, and everything. So when you get to a hotel, there is a place at the basement where they tie the animals to, and that's where they bring the hay and the grass that the animals will eat. So that's where, So the man in the hotel said, oh, there is no space. He said, but if you can manage it, you guys go to the garage, the horse garage, the animal garage. Hold on to Biloba. Downstairs. And see if you can. So it was the manger. That's a nice name. Is the feeding trough. It is the place where the animals eat. That is like a small cot. So what Mary and Joseph did was they took one of those things. They cleaned it. I'm sure they must have cleaned it and everything. Then put clothes and so that it would be soft. That's where the baby was put. But you haven't heard the rest of it. What could not have happened on that trip? Eclampsia, high blood pressure, infection, where animals are. But every meter of that journey was guarded by an angel. From step, all the angels were on alert. From Nazareth to Bethlehem. From Bethlehem into the stable. From the stable to the manger. Not one thing was left unturned by God to make sure that he will be born in Bethlehem inside the manger with no infection, and the baby will be fine and the mother will be fine. And God watched over that word and performed it. Another clap offering for him. That is the God we're dealing with. That is the turn to your neighbor and say, that's the God that is in charge of your life. So why are you worrying? Honey, you can now understand why worry is a sin. It's a sin. You know what worry is saying? God, you are not responsible, and I don't trust you. You didn't say it, but that's the insinuation of worry. God, you are irresponsible. You're going to let something terrible happen to me. And I can't trust you. You didn't say it with your mouth, though. But that's what you said with your attitude, your emotion, and your actions. I'm getting ahead of myself, but it's all part of the message. The reason why people worry is because they don't pray enough. Worry is the child of faithlessness and prayerlessness. I'm going to repeat that. Worry is the product, is the offspring of faithlessness and prayerlessness. Faithlessness comes from not knowing God's word. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Prayerlessness comes from spiritual laziness. When those two things are together, because of the unbelief that is in the heart and the prayerlessness, the power of God is not generated in intercession. And when it's not in intercession through the vessel does not know God is in control. Because you see, when you pray, and you pray as you should pray, according to the scripture, Ephesians chapter 6, but I'm going to zero in on Philippians chapter 4. He says, be careful for nothing. I did not write that scripture. And don't water it down. This is the instruction. Thank God for the Living Sermon Drama Group and that play that they gave us 2 weeks ago on take fasthold of instruction. This is the instruction. And everybody's going to do an exam on themselves right now to find out if you're obeying that instruction. Let me paraphrase. The degree to which you're obeying that instruction. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Three things: prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. Number four, in everything, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I'm going to add my own there because it's scripture. From worry. So if you're worrying, you're not praying enough. I didn't say you're not praying. Say enough. That's why what I taught earlier on about the life of God. That's why you see, you need the life of God in sufficient measure. And when you're now praying, what's coming out of your mouth is that yellow, that amber power. So when it's coming out and it's coming sufficient, it's, watch this. It comes from here. It comes through your heart. It comes up here through your mouth. It affects the mind, the will, and the emotions. So when you've done enough of it, that's why you say, you know, you have got a breakthrough. You won't worry. Even though things have not yet happened, you will know God is in control. Because the power that makes God is in control, that makes God to be in control, has flowed through you. If it has not flowed through you, you will worry. It went very quiet. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is in control. Say, God rules in the affairs of men. So those are the two major Christmas miracles. The miracle of the virgin birth, conception and birth. The miracle of the birth at Bethlehem. That was a miracle. A major miracle. And the power to create those miracles were generated over a 60-year period through the intercession of Anna. That's why she was rewarded, and Simeon, with seeing the Christ physically, that this is the reward of your labor. So I said, God is still ruling today. I didn't hear you. He's still ruling the affairs of men. It's in Daniel chapter 4, verse 17. It says, God ruleth. Give me that scripture. Daniel chapter 4. Everybody, this matter. I said, this matter. I got another tweet, honey. It's from heaven. You know what? It's the Holy Ghost. It's scripture from the scripture. It just told me. He said, the matters of your life, I by the decree of the watchers, to stop worrying. That's why you join Good Morning Jesus every morning. You're not doing it because of Mommy Sarah. You're not doing it because of me. You're doing it because of you. The corporate anointing and the open heaven will cause power to go through you. So the matter of your life, you can decree it and it will become established. This matter, I didn't hear you, is by the decree of the watchers and the demand. You will make a demand on heaven when we pray based on God's word. Hallelujah. Of the Holy Ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High does what? Ruleth in the kingdom of men. And in this particular context, talking about Nebuchadnezzar, and gives it to the basest of men. Nebuchadnezzar is one of the worst guys on the earth. He changed, though, after God had dealt with him. Sometimes you wonder, why did God allow a base man, when I say base now, you know, a lowly man of low character, and in, you know, like Nebuchadnezzar, come to the throne? Many times, when God allows bad people to rule a nation, it is to punish them. It's God's chastening rod. That is why when a nation is walking in righteousness, God will give you a good leader. When the righteous are in authority. But what happens when it's the bad people? They mourn. But how come the righteous get into authority? Through the prayers of the people. That's how we're going to end this message. See, if the church is not praying as it should, you will get the leaders you deserve. And sometimes, I'm getting ahead of myself, but it's a part of the message. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Sometimes God is going to X. I just use X as an unknown. But he's starting from B or A. To get to X, without violating man's free will, and at the same time, to get his will to be done, he will have to go from B to C to D. So he goes through a process. He's still going to get to X. God, this is a prophetic and history lesson, wants the Jews to go back to Jerusalem and build the temple after the 70 years of Jeremiah. But between the time they are taken into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar, there's going to be a 70-year interval. So from does nothing takes God by surprise. Everybody say God is ruling in the affairs of men. So he allows a base man, a lowly man of lowly character, you know, terrible temper, you know, kill everybody. That's Nebuchadnezzar for you. Get angry, throw them in the fire. That's Nebuchadnezzar. He changed though. God broke him, you know. So, this is a good instrument for me to use to chasten my people because they didn't listen to me. But Nebuchadnezzar, get strong. Conquer all the countries so you can take them into captivity. He takes them into captivity, then allows Nebuchadnezzar, but he now plugs Daniel in. That's the ace. God is great. As he's carrying them, he takes a young boy, four young boys, Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, you know, and Abednego. They are going to be the tools through which to bring the destiny of Israel to come to pass. So they come with Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar gives them nice food, teaches them the tongue of the Chaldeans. He does not know that the people who are going to discipline him are in his court. And they begin to intercede and they begin to pray. The first thing is he gets a funny dream he can't understand. They bring Daniel. Daniel interprets the dream. Daniel chapter 2. And he promotes them. They're prospering and everything. He creates his stupid idol. Come and bow. They say, we're not bowing. Throw them in the fire. They come out of the fire. Nothing happens to them. The guy says, there's no other God like this. No problem. Then, yet chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar is doing what he likes and all of that. God tells him, you better repent and get humble. You know? He has a dream. He doesn't understand it. There's a tall tree. It's cut, but you leave a stump in the ground. He calls Daniel again. Daniel interprets the dream for him and says, cut away your unrighteousness, you know, show mercy to the poor, and there may be a lengthening of your tranquility. He doesn't listen like many of us don't. And like many of our leaders today are not listening. But don't let that bother you. It's not going to disturb God's plan. Turn to your neighbor and say, God rules in the affairs of men. You keep interceding. The plan will never fail. So long as we keep injecting God into the system through prayer and intercession, God's plan, his kingdom will come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So he allows Nebuchadnezzar, takes him into the wilderness for 7 years, behaves like an animal. Hold on, Leo. The Bible says, at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, my reason returned to me, and I lifted up my eyes to the God of heaven. Who can tell him, what doest thou, that ruleth in the affairs of men, and they that walk in pride? Nebuchadnezzar identified himself. He is able to abase. So, Nebuchadnezzar dies. His son takes over. Then his grandson, Belteshazzar. That one has no sense. He had heard all the story that happened with his grandfather. You see, his daddy didn't do any nonsense. That one, because he saw what happened to his daddy. But Belteshazzar was his grandson. His eyes would throw a party. And of all the cups you can drink with, and we are funny. Of all the cups in Babylon, they even had golden cups in Babylon. They had gold, they had plundered cities and nations. He could have gotten any gold he wanted, but it is the one they brought from the temple. They that the gods want to fill, they make mad first. Of all these, the one of the temple of Jerusalem you want to use to drink wine. Oh yeah, Elokwa. Begins to drink wine and praise the gods of something. God does something he hasn't yet done. He may do it in our time. Because all the scripture, all the types are going to be fulfilled. It will be interesting to see where God would do it. Normally God will send a prophet and he will prophesy, like would have sent Daniel and just prophesy. God said, no, this has to be special for this silly boy. So God just sends a hand. Okoja here. Everybody said, God rules in the affairs of men. He just sends a hand, and the hand just writes on the wall, you have been weighed in the balances and you have found wanting. Your kingdom has been numbered. It has been finished tonight. No space for intercession. No space for mercy. You know why? Mercy has already been given. It has been wasted. It has been squandered. That night, the Medes and the Persians ride into Babylon, kill Belteshazzar, and the kingdom is taken over by a man called Darius. Good man, like Daniel, kept him. Then they tricked him, put him in lions, then brought him out, Then after Darius was Cyrus. That's the Z he was going to. See where he started from. Say, God rules in the affairs of men. Finally, Cyrus comes. And Cyrus says, who is there amongst your people? For the God of heaven has given me an assignment that all your people go and build a temple for the God of heaven. Anybody in my empire, I set you free. Go and go to Jerusalem and build the temple of the God of heaven and offer sacrifices for the life of the king and his sons. That could not happen with Nebuchadnezzar. It could not happen with Belteshazzar. It could not even happen with Darius. God had to wait for a man like Cyrus. That is why it sometimes takes as if God takes his time. But he knows what he's doing. So don't be bothered by all these puppets. Because really they are puppets. In the hand of God and in the hand of the devil. They're just puppets. And we control the strings by intercession. Amen. What a word. I've never said that before. We is God. Is God who is, but the, you know, the hand is connected to a string that is connected to the puppet. God is the hand, but you and I are the strings. Without the string, you cannot control the puppet. Say God rules in the affairs of men. I got a tweet, Prof. God rules in the affairs of men through you and I. It's God who does the ruling, but he does it through you and I. We are the strings. We are the ones that are connected. We are the men on the earth to give God the legal basis to be able to move. If you cut the string, the hand can no longer control the puppet. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody here. Everything I'm preaching is not in my note. We're going to close soon. So, Tanya said, God is still ruling today. Oh. In our lives, individually, and over nations. Now, I want you to understand a great prophetic truth I'm about to tell you. All individuals have an individual destiny. And all nations have a national destiny. People don't know that. I'm going to show you the scripture in a minute. But let me deal with the individual, because it is individuals that collectively form nations. A nation, it was my wife who said this many years ago, John F. Kennedy said, you know, don't ask what my nation can do for me, but what I can do for my nation. Then my wife picked that up and expanded it and said, but who is my nation? He said, don't ask what Nigeria can do for me, but what can I do for Nigeria? But who is Nigeria? Nigeria is your houseboy. Is your driver. Is your house girl. Is your brother. Who is Nigeria? It's people. It's people. So when you help the poor man and you help the neighbor and you help the brother, you are helping Nigeria. In one of the ethos that we have for Olympia and Sarah Johnson Foundation, I don't have to go and start, you know, to Aso Rock before I can do something for Nigeria. So I look for the school that is next to me where they are, the children were having physics lesson under a tree and had no toilet. How can they learn in that condition? So, by the grace and the mercy of God, God helped us to go and build a classroom block for them. We did. Put toilet there. Put generator there. Then gave them scholarship so that the one that passes, he won't have problem with money and he will go to university. And it's happening as we speak. That is how to help Nigeria. Are you listening to me? The boy is there, a student in University of Ibadan. Thank you, Prof. Give the Lord a clap offering. That one of the boys is now a student as we are talking now. He's already entered UI. That's how to help Nigeria. This is a slight digression. But let me just say, imagine if all the rich men in Nigeria, and there are many of them, we have Pastor Ibrahim, we have 770 local governments in the whole of Nigeria. It's not a large number. The number of billionaires in Nigeria exceeds 770. Ask Sister Lolade. They are bankers. But account one or more. I'm serious. If each of them, we have men in Nigeria that are rich enough that can say, this 1 billion naira, you don't need to give accounts for it. For the next 10 years, take it to the local government area, all the schools and all the medical center, what do you call them? Primary health, something. Make sure that they have correct equipment and everything. 1 billion will do it. And they do it seven. All the local governments of Nigeria, the problem will solve without going to Aso Rock. Without going to Senate. The only problem is ego and pride. You know why? They have the money, but they do not want to do it unless he's senator or governor. And then they put his name in the paper and they make noise and shout and take photograph and all of that. Stop that nonsense and go and help somebody. God rules in the affairs of men. If every one of us do our little bit. Me and my wife, we're not rich. We are rich in Jesus' name. We are not hungry. But we are not in that class of some people. You know? Yet. Thank you. She's keeping me in line with my prophetic destiny. I must be careful what I say. Because we are still going to become the richest people in the earth. Amen. We are going to lend to nations. Amen. But we are on the road. We are going to X. We are on the road now. Are you listening to me? But you see, that is how to help your nation. The truth about the matter is that if we have a million millionaires, when I say millionaires now, people that have liquid cash, 500 million and above, they're in Nigeria. By the time you mix and add the ones in diaspora, we have enough. And each of them takes a local government and faces it squarely without raising money from Aso Rock or government subsidy or anything like that. We will solve the Nigerian problem. Armed robbery will disappear. Kidnapping will disappear. And you will sleep in peace. For the rich man sleeps with one eye when the poor man is hungry. So if you want to sleep well, give. I don't know where that came from. But the Holy Ghost wanted. So there is a national destiny and there is an individual destiny. I have to rush and finish. The individual destiny, each of us, let's keep it simple, is to be conformed to the image of Jesus. I've said this so many times. Your calling, your spiritual calling and destiny is not your profession. You're not called to be a lawyer or to be the best lawyer in Nigeria. That's not what God called and created you for. God called you and created you so that you can grow to the fullness of Christ, to grow up in Christ in all things. Like I said during the Bible study, if you do that, you will get the ability of the mind of Christ, the photographic memory and all of that. And then that will now make you the best lawyer they have ever seen. So your calling will enhance, your destiny will enhance your calling. But sadly, most people will neglect their spiritual calling to run after their profession and therefore stunt their spiritual lives and never watch this. The Yoruba people have a saying, Entuba leku meji akpofu. That means in our language that if you chase two rats, you won't get anything. He wants to try and get his profession, which he cannot get without the ability of the mind of Christ. He cannot excel to it. So in chasing that one, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? And you know the sad thing, Pastor Tori, he's not even going to gain the whole world. So he won't gain the whole world and he will also lose his soul. Can you see that there's something wrong here? Why don't you become single-minded and face your destiny? Because if you face your destiny, when you get it, then it will enhance your calling. You'll be one of the best doctors they have ever seen. You'll be one of the best engineers they have ever seen. And that's all ahead of us. It's right ahead of us. I have to say something. The Holy Ghost has told me, your life has not ended, though. Honey, you are 62. 61, okay. I promoted you. Amen. You know, at 60, people say, oh, it's time for me to read. I'm older than you. You know, at 60, 61, 62, people are like, well, it's time to start winding down. It's time to start, you know, you have to retire. And if you understand the prophetic destiny of the times in which we are living, it is the time to refire. Not the time to retire at all. Because, like Moses, your life is just starting. The Sarah they are going to know is going to be the Sarah after this. Not the Sarah of preparation and revelation. It's going to be the Sarah of manifestation. And not only draw Sarah, it's draw of everybody. Moses, the Moses we know, is the Moses of 80 to 120. It is not the Moses of 0 to 40, and it is not the Moses of 40 to 80. Everybody's life is like that. Because people don't take their spiritual life seriously. Most people live and die in the 0 to 40, 40 to 80 range. And then they have a good profession and say, oh, I have finished my race. I have run. He didn't finish any race. He didn't even start the race. In some places. That is why what you should face now, particularly as you're getting older, is to face your destiny. Because once you get into the grow into the fullness of Christ, there is going to become a rejuvenation of your body. A reversal of age. My wife is looking younger than she was looking when she was 50. No, I'm being serious. People brought, you know, when we sent our Christmas message out, people said, Mommy, you are looking younger. If you look at our pictures when we were 50, and you look at our pictures now when we are 60, we look younger than when we were 50. And it's only going to get better. Give the Lord a clap offering. Watch this. You will like it. God pressed a reset button on Abraham's life at the age of 100. Abraham could not fulfill his destiny until after 100 because his destiny was tied into Isaac. And had Isaac not been born, he would not have fulfilled his destiny. At 100, God rejuvenated his physical body. And that of Sarah to the point where a king wanted to marry Sarah. That is going to become normal in the end time. Give the Lord a clap offering. That's your personal destiny. Now, don't do anything to mess it up like David. David died at 70 when he should have died, if he died, at 120. He would have used 50 years to build the temple. Watch this. Discipline Solomon. And force Solomon to marry one wife. 10 Solomons could not say no to his father. Mewel to bear. In our language, that means 10 of him cannot do it. He feared his father. If David said, I know the evil of polygamy and what it did to my life. Now, Solomon, one wife. Tell me who you want to marry, and that's going to be all. Remember Isaac and remember Joseph and follow the example. Solomon would not have dared. Exactly. You won't choose for them, but you direct them. And once you marry that one, that's the end. Don't come and tell me any story. Imagine loving you. Don't let me go there this afternoon. Let me just say, Jejeli, where God asked me to stay. Amen. That's another message for another day. Come for it in the new year. Okay. So, God, individually, all of us have an individual destiny. So, as you fulfill your individual destiny and you come into the fullness of Christ, the life of God made manifest in your flesh, your youth will be renewed like the eagles. Scripture. You know, and with that, you will have the strength and the rejuvenation of youth to be able to fulfill the fullness of your calling. Both in your profession as well as in gospel ministry. That's what is ahead of us. And God, watch this, Pastor William. God is ruling in your affairs through your daily prayer and intercession to make sure that destiny is not aborted. So in spite of challenges you may be facing now, take your eyes off the challenges and watch it. And put your eyes on the God who is in control. The challenges are visible. The God is invisible. But faith sees the invisible. And so you will not be discouraged. So when you have challenges, you can get discouraged. Remember, God is in control. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is in control. And I will fulfill my individual destiny. Now let's talk about national destiny and close. Am I helping anybody here? Nobody wants to go and eat beans and rice. You will go after. You go. Today is Sunday. And it's still Christmas. Bread of mommy. Now, just like individuals have a destiny, nations have destinies. I'm going to rush through this. It's deep. There's a lot in it. But, turn to your neighbor. Say, everybody, you have homework. Say, church is spiritual school. So all you're doing is homework. So when you get home, this is your homework. Everybody, go and read the book of Daniel. And read about the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. From the head of gold down to the feet, which is made of clay and iron. It is a pictorial panorama of the destiny of all nations from, watch this, the time of Nebuchadnezzar till present date. At every stage in history, each empire, they performed a particular role. And when their role was over, God will give it to another. That's why he was able to show through Nebuchadnezzar's dream, he was able to show the history and the destiny of all nations from that time to present time. One historical fact that will really help your faith and that will really encourage you is the history of Israel. The history of Israel is nothing short of miraculous. And it is the evidence that the invisible God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the God that rules in the affairs of men. Israel was scattered by Titus, the Roman emperor. He was a general at that time. He became emperor later on. You know, he sacked Jerusalem and took the Jews captive and spread them throughout the Roman Empire, all over Europe and everywhere. They thought Israel can never become a nation again. They lost the language because they got the language of the people where they were living. Those who were in Germany, those who were in England, those who were in Italy, and all of that. But there was always in every generation, Nekato Frenengara, God preserved himself a remnant who would observe Passover. They would observe, they couldn't go to Jerusalem, but in their house, in every devout Jew's house, you will see a menorah. When it is Passover, they will call their children and say, this is what Moses told us. They will take unleavened bread, whether they are in Italy, whether they are in Germany, whether they are in England, wherever they were. This went on for hundreds of years. It's one of the reasons why they hated the Jews. They felt that they were a close community, and they were. They didn't allow the things of the Gentiles to affect them. They held on to what they knew in the Torah from Genesis to Deuteronomy and the prophets from Deuteronomy to Malachi. They studiously, they had their synagogues, they kept the Torah, Jesus had come, they didn't know Jesus, you know, but they kept those traditions. Right over the years, and in every generation, everybody say, God rules in the affairs of men. You will see God moving on behalf of Israel, of the Jews. It doesn't matter where they were, they will prosper. The Jews were the best doctors. They were the best merchants. The book Merchant of Venice is written as a type of persecution of the Jews because Shylock, you know, but not all Jews were like Shylock. They had good ones among them, you know. And so that's why there was a lot of persecution of the Jews throughout Europe and in many places of the world, you know, down through the years. But that hand, that invisible hand, kept the Jewish nation and kept them, prospered them, blessed them, prospered them, blessed them, protected them. Many of them were killed during the Spanish Inquisition. You know, a lot of bad things happened. But this is the point of this message. The fact that bad things are happening does not mean God is not ruling. We always get our eyes off the ball. We start looking at all the banners. Where is God? God is there. He's working in the background. He did it for the Jews. He will do it for you. I'm taking Israel out as a perfect example. Then I'll just talk about it and then I'll close. The Jewish nation, Israel, was preserved by God's providence down through the centuries. In spite of all the persecution, the pogroms, you know, and the last card in Satan's stack was a man called Adolf Hitler. Get rid of all of them. Because Satan knew that without Israel, end time cannot be fulfilled. Adolf Hitler's hatred for the Jews was insane. It was demonic. Not just was it demonic, it was also insane and unsensible. You are fighting a war. The people that could have helped you, because many of the German Jews were German. The top scientists. It didn't make any sense. The resources he would have used for the Wehrmacht, for the regular army, he diverted it so that they would be transporting the Jews to the gas chambers. Very foolish. But that's what Satan does and bends your mind. It was demonic. Because he had an assignment from Lucifer to get rid of the Jews. He tried, but he failed. You know why? Turn to your neighbor. God rules in the affairs. In spite of all that thing with the Holocaust, the gas chambers and all of that, God was still working in the background. God was still working in the background. He was always working in the background. There's a particular movie, you know. Me and Tunde at home, we're always watching World War II movies. My World War II guy. We let mommy go and sleep, then we go and you know. You know. There was this Gentile, German, but he did not believe in the persecution of the Jews. He felt that it was not right. So he used a plan with the Dutch embassy and the Swiss embassy to give haven to Jews. And then they shipped them out of Germany and shipped them to Switzerland. From Switzerland, they shipped them to England. They saved many Jews like that. How many people have watched a movie called Schindler's List? This generation, all they do is play TV game. The Schindler was a German. He was a member of the Nazi party of Hitler. He got contracts for building bridges and everything. But God put it in his heart to save Jews. You know what he did? He will go and get a whole factory. The factory head is Jewish. Then he will get all the Jews. He said, go and get more, go and get more. Then when the Nazis come and they say they want to arrest the Jews and take them to concentration camp, he'll say, no. They are essential to the war effort. And they are my employees. Today, there is a whole generation of Jews called Schindler Jews that were preserved and are alive because of what Schindler did. Say, God rules in the affairs of men. God is not sleeping. And so, round comes 1948. God is in control. We're going from A to Z through. So 1948 comes around, Ben Gurion, and the United Nations declare the state of Israel. A Jewish homeland was declared in Palestine. Against all odds, there were 600,000 or maybe 1 million or something like that, 40 million Arabs. Surrounded them with a vow that the day they declare independence, they will finish them. It didn't happen. Today, Israel is one of the strongest nations in the Middle East, militarily, politically, scientifically, technologically, and economically. A clap offering for the Lord. If that does not convince you that God rules in the affairs of men, nothing will. I got to close. God rules in the affairs of men. You say, I'm going to repeat it. The fact that bad things are happening, if you look at the Holocaust, you will say, where is God? Where is God? Can God fulfill his word? They're killing all of them. They burned the synagogues on the day of Kristallnacht. This was 1938, just before World War II started. They started burning synagogues, rounding up the Jews. You say, where is God? Where is God? But God was ruling. Smart Jews like Albert Einstein. The day Adolf Hitler became Chancellor, 1933, Albert Einstein got on a boat and went to America, and he was made a professor in Princeton University. God had his people. God had his people. He always does. Don't be fooled by the little negative things you are seeing. Let me bring you to Nigeria, and I got to close. God is ruling in Nigeria. Don't worry about the price of petrol. Don't worry about subsidy. Don't worry. Where is God? God is there. And he's ruling. I got to close. Hallelujah. I'm going to look at two scriptures. Look at Acts 17. I don't know if I'm helping anybody here. Verse 26. Acts 17, 26. This is given by Paul. Paul is speaking, recorded by Luke. And hath made of one blood all nations. So that includes Nigeria. It includes Rwanda. It includes Ethiopia. It includes China. It includes Taiwan. It includes Russia. It includes Ukraine. It includes United Kingdom. It includes America. When you read this Bible, read it with respect. God and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth. Watch this. This is the destiny of nations. And hath determined the times before appointed and the what? Bounds of their habitation. I wish Adolf Hitler had read this scripture. He would have known it was a waste of time trying to expand the German Empire to include Ukraine, to include the USSR, to include, France and all that. God has already set your bound. So he was destined to fall, and fall he did. The Lord a clap offering. Psalm 110 verse 2. We're almost done. Mommy wants me to hurry up. I'm going to take it in God's pace. Now. Yes. Psalm 110. Am I talking to anybody here? Psalm 110. Am I helping anybody here? And look at verse 2. This is scripture. This is how God rules in the affairs of men. I said, the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength. Where? Perfect church. He is not ruling out of Israel. He is not ruling out of Jerusalem. He is ruling out of Zion. Send forth the rod of thy strength. Out of Zion, rule thou in the millennial reign. So today, in the middle of the armed robbery, in the middle of the banditry, in the middle of the Boko Haram, in the middle of all the things that are happening in our nation, God is ruling. And God is going to take Nigeria from point A to point Z. So I'm using, metaphorically speaking, where point Z is, there will be no complaining in our streets. Our sons and daughters will grow up like plants. Our daughters like cornerstones, polished out the similitude of the pillar. That is where we are going. We are on the road there already, and God is ruling. Stand to your feet. Woo! God is ruling in the affairs of men. Am I talking to anybody? So don't be distracted by what is happening. Stay online with your intercession. I got another tweet from heaven. Do you know, honey, Anna could easily have been discouraged and distracted. The more she prayed, the more they were oppressed by Rome. So if you're looking at the wrong parameters, you would think God is not answering your prayer. The Romans came and took over Palestine. Then they had horrible kings. Herod. The Romans, Pontius Pilate, killing Jews, mingling the blood of Jews with their sacrifices. Say, where is God in all of this? But God was right there. His name was Jesus. Yahushua. He was in the middle of all that nonsense because there was a plan. Because there was a plan. And God was following the plan, and the plan worked. I want to ask a very simple rhetorical question, then we'll take a song and close. At the time Jesus was born, at the time Anna was interceding, she interceded for 60 years. Turn to your neighbor and say, how many years have you been interceding for Nigeria? If Anna did not get discouraged under a Roman Empire, why should you be discouraged under a democratic regime after God dealt with Abacha? If there's anything for you, you should not be discouraged at all. You should be praying. Are you listening to me? So Anna could have been discouraged, but she did not take her eyes off the ball. Jesus was born in the middle of that Roman Empire. In fact, it was the decree of the empire that caused him to be born in Bethlehem. See how God uses everything. The oppressive Roman Empire was fulfilling the will of God, just like today. But God was going somewhere. Jesus is born. He grows up. He dies. Resurrected. Christianity starts. We're 2,000 years later. I have a very interesting question to answer. Where is the Roman Empire today? Where is Israel today? Don't you know, say God rules in the affairs of men. El Shaddai,
El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai, age to age, you're still the same. By the power of your name, El Shaddai,
El Shaddai,
Ekrakana Adonai, we now praise and lift you high, El Shaddai.
Through the
and through the ram, you saved the son of Abraham. Through the power of your hand, you turned the sea into dry land. To the outcast on her knees, you are the God who really sees. And by your might, you set your children free.
Oh!
El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai.
Age to age, it's still the same. By the power of the name.
El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Ekrakana Adonai, we now praise and lift you.
for your word through the years.
Through the years, you've made it clear
that
the time of Christ was here. Though the people couldn't see what desire ought to be.
For your word,
for your word,
contain the plan. They just
not understand.
Oh,
your most awesome work was done through the frailty of your son. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai, which age you're still the same.
By the power,
El Shaddai, El Shaddai,
El Makana,
El Makana, Adonai, we now praise and lift you high. El Shaddai.
Put one hand on your heart. Raise your other hand. That El Shaddai is the one that is in control of your life. Keep the string attached to his hand by intercession. And he will just be moving the people and the nations. They will be like puppets. And without violating their free will. And ultimately, his will for your life will be done. And his will for our nation will be done. Raise that hand. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for making it clear that you are ruling. Now, today, in the affairs of men. In my affairs as an individual, and in the affairs of my nation, Nigeria, and in the affairs of the nations of all the world. Father, I believe your word. I refuse the terrible spirit of unbelief. I believe your word. Like Joshua and Caleb, I believe your word. The giants of this life, of this generation, the distress of the nations are bred for us. And we are going up at once to take the nations for your glory. Father, have mercy on me. Help me. Help me. Help me. Daily. Help me. Help me. Number one, not to be consumed. Number two, help me, Lord, not to faint. Not to be discouraged. Number three, Lord, help me to be faithful in intercession, in obedience, in walking in the Spirit, so that through me, your power will flow to cause all things to work together for my good. And I will know in my heart, no matter what is happening around me, that truly you are ruling in the affairs of men. And in my life, in Jesus' name. Nikatolo Moshakato Fred. Lopricato Fredes. Zeliko to Fredeng. Loprikato Fred. Zukito Fred. Lombradalask. Rimakato. Lopridia Kato Frede. Nongida Katori Katoske. Zikatolo. Mercy, Father. Salaprikatolo Matolo. Loprikatolo Moshalaputu Fredesk. Lord Jesus, Lord Holy Ghost, we thank you for your blood, for your life in the Gadaya Kakoro, for your power in our souls, in our bodies, in our circumstances, in our regional heavenlies, insufficient measure. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
If you're sick, or you need healing or deliverance, there's a high suicide rate in the world, even amongst Christians in America, England. People are depressed because they can't go out because of COVID. They couldn't go out. They couldn't travel. I don't know. You got the Holy Ghost there in your house with you. I'm not saying it's not important to go out. But the Holy Ghost will give you fellowship. He will release your mind. He has not given you a spirit of power. Or fear. Excuse. Thank you, darling. But of power, of love, and of a sound. There's no need for Christians to be going through depression and oppression. It all comes from a lack of renewing of the mind. And learning how to fellowship with God. You fellowship with God even when you have issues. Even when you have challenges. Jesus did not say we won't have challenges. He said, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Put one hand on your heart. If you rather, stretch forth your hands if you need for healing and deliverance. Father, we send the healing word. You sent your word and heal them and deliver them from the destruction. I release deliverance. I release healing now in Jesus' name. When we come, we're done. God will help us. You are going to enter the new year victoriously. You are going to end this year gloriously and enter the new year victoriously. I think that came from my wife. Are you listening to me? Don't be afraid. The only thing God wants from you is stay connected in prayer. What defeats Christians when they don't pray? What defeated David was he lost contact with God for a few months. Kind of took things easy and backslid. You know, that's why he fell into the mess he fell into. I got his word, honey. The glory of the latter house will be greater than the former. David was the latter house. Was the former house. You are the latter house. So you will not make the mistake of David. For the prophet says that we are going to close up the breaches of the tabernacle of David. So don't worry. You will not mess up. You will fulfill your destiny. In Jesus' name, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail. Above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live, you will not die. Oh, I say you will live, you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection, the fullness of Christ. So Lord, impart on you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John. In Jesus' name, amen, excuse me. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is ruling in the affairs of your life. So you will fulfill your prophetic destiny with no bones broken. In Jesus' name, amen.